Welcome, welcome, welcome. Saturday, August 12th.
It's Sunday.
We're going to redo that. I kept thinking it was Saturday. My days are all messed up.
Okay.
You can put that in as a blooper or whatever.
Can I get a
podcast?
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. It's Sunday, August 12th. Here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. This is Can I Get a Podcast? I'm Jeffrey Kuverstein, alongside my good buddy and co-host, Chris Gross. Chris, what's going on, man?
Things are good, Jeffrey. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to be with you. You had a fun week out in Belize?
I did. I was on a mission trip with our church, and I flew out last Sunday, got back in last night. So I literally, I was out of the country for 7 days. I checked Twitter maybe twice. I have no idea what happened at all last week, and I'm not going to lie, it was awesome.
Well, man, a lot happened.
So, yes.
A lot happened here.
I have the unfortunate part of that is I've had to catch up on everything since I got back.
Of course, yeah. That is one of the drags of a vacation, having to catch up. But, yeah, man, college football had a really interesting week, starting with Ohio State and the Urban Meyer situation. Urban Meyer is placed on administrative leave due to the investigation ongoing with one of his assistant coaches, Zach Smith, and the alleged domestic assault that happened. And then there was a thing, I don't even want to call it a situation, a thing that came down yesterday. An Ohio State supposed insider said he can confirm that Tom Herman was the tipster who tipped off Brett McMurphy he wanted to blow up the Ohio State program. That's what this guy was saying.
Yeah.
Because he lost out on a Garrett Wilson, who was a recruit from Austin Westlake or from Lake Travis, that committed to Ohio State over Texas.
So since then, Brett McMurphy has come out and said that he doesn't reveal sources, but he will say that Tom Herman was not his source.
Yes.
And, so that's
and Tom Herman's wife Michelle also said the same on Twitter that
yes.
She was not.
So these sides now, even if Tom Herman was the source, you'd get that out of his wife. I don't know if we'd hear from Brett McMurphy if Tom Herman.
No, yeah, absolutely not.
So I think that's a little strange, but this is just such a weird situation adding to what was already a really difficult story. Like, you're adding this weird winding path to it, and I losing a recruit is bad. But I'm just failing to see, like, the real motive here.
Yeah, no. I would not say that losing an elite recruit like Garrett Wilson would be motive to... Well, first of all, it shouldn't even be motive. Even if Tom Herman was the quote-unquote tipster that tipped off Brett McMurphy on the story, isn't that a good thing that this story came to light?
That was another thing I saw where...
It's not like he's a rat or a mole or something. Yeah. Like, this is a big story.
And that's what Urban Meyer was criticized for, was that he knew something and didn't say anything about it. And so, yeah, to your point, if Tom Herman did know and he said something, why are we saying this is a negative thing about him? I was seeing a lot on, you know, a lot of anti-Herman stuff on the internet, just from your classic Twitter users.
Love Twitter.com.
Yeah. Twitter.com is great, but it has its scum, that's for sure. And they were saying, you know, calling him a rat or a narc or whatever. And one, we don't even know if it's true, but it's like you said, let's like expand to the bigger picture, assuming he is. Aren't we now glad that we know about Zach Smith and what's going on at the Ohio State program?
100%. No matter who tipped him off, whether it was Tom Herman, who was a part of Urban's staff when they won the national championship, and knew Zach Smith presumably pretty well, or whoever it was, this was an important story, obviously, that needed to come to light. There's been a lot of these situations around sports lately, and this is just another one that hopefully will spark some change here in college football,
yeah,
and in sports in general.
And I think that's the thing too. Looking at, you know, just the Ohio State part of the picture, we don't know who the source is on this, and we may never find out. But I'm hoping this leads to more stuff like this. Where if you get a coach who leaves a program, and right now in today's culture, you've got to say something. And so you may, you know, leave the school and go, man, what was going on there was really not good. and something needs to be said about it.
And Brett McMurphy, obviously, I don't know if you feel the same way. I would say he's the premier college football reporter, insider.
Yes.
So I don't think it matters that we know or don't know who the source is because it's coming from Brett McMurphy.
Yeah. That's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. This is Can I Get a Podcast? As we discuss the new angle on the Urban Meyer, Ohio State, Zach Smith situation. Yeah, I'm with you. I really, in the large scheme of things, don't care, honestly,
no.
Who the source is. Now, there are things that could make it, you know, interesting, you know, just depending on who it was. And it would, like Tom Herman, that it's an interesting angle. Okay, it's fun to talk about. But ultimately, in the large scheme of things, it doesn't matter who the source was. Like, what matters is what the story is.
That's correct.
But it's just so, you know, it goes to just college football and how crazy fans are and how crazy people get about this where, you know, you have the Ohio State fans who should be anti-Urban Meyer if he knew, who should be anti-Zach Smith.
And Gene Smith, the AD.
Yeah, sure. And now they're anti-Tom Herman because what he may have said is, like, hurting their program. And that's just so, like, backwards.
Like we've said on this program many times, there's nothing like college football.
There really isn't. College football is one of a kind, and it's closing in fast, and I'm ready for games to be here.
And there's another coach who was placed on administrative leave, I believe, yesterday. Maryland head coach DJ Durkin placed on administrative leave, as well as two other trainers for the situation that happened there, I believe, in spring ball, where offensive lineman Jordan McNair died during workouts. And that's one of many stories that we've heard like that.
Yeah, and this story, it gets to, like, levels of scary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, if you read that story on ESPN.
Yeah, and it details just a culture of, I don't even know how you would describe it. It's almost like a culture of fear.
Yeah.
Where I'm trying to pull up the story here to read some of the specifics, but it was basically belittling, making fun of guys
who were getting exhaustion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's obviously not something that we can do because you can't mess with that.
It said something, I believe the story said, when this kid died, he had like a body temperature of like 105.
Ugh.
I get college football is important, but I mean, where are we at where that's like taking such a precedent that one guy can't sit out of a practice
because he's not fit to practice?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, I mean, it's just crazy the lengths that these coaches and trainers will go to make sure their guys are on the field and practicing and getting those quote unquote reps that they need.
And I feel like it's also like an old-timey, you know, back in my day type thing where all the coaches yelled.
Back in my day.
Yeah. Like a Bobby Knight situation where the coaches yelled, and that was what you did at the time. And
yeah,
it was fine.
For sure.
And people saw it as, okay, those kids need that, you know, that extra motivation. They need to have that bit of fear in them. But like at this store, in this part of stories where one of the things that stood out to me was like they would make overweight kids eat so much candy to the point that they would vomit. Like, what are we doing?
It's America's an interesting place, man.
And
I'm just going to say that.
And you know what it is, too? This is probably happening at so many universities, and we have no idea.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, this isn't the first story that we've heard like this, and it won't be the last. And that's the really unfortunate truth about college sports is that the coaches will do anything and everything in their power to I guess, control their kids and get their kids on the right track to victory. But
I'm sad that it takes like a death to get this sort of stuff
absolutely
figured out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I think administrative leave and what might ultimately be a firing.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah. I would think so, too. And this the ESPN report of this, it just details, I mean, it's disgusting, like, the stuff that happens behind the scenes. And it goes again to me when you're looking at college football, where the NCAA loves to treat these kids as student athletes. They're students first.
So they say.
So they say, yet every other thing that we hear about these kids when they're in school goes quite to the contrary, where you would not push any kids like this to the point of, you know, vomiting, exhaustion so much that you die, if the most important thing they should be doing is learning and not football.
Can I get a podcast? I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein. That's Chris Gross. Week one got a lot more interesting over the weekend, too. Texas plays Maryland week one. Tom Herman was involved in the Ohio State scandal. Maryland's involved in this scandal. Maryland's interim coach is Matt Canada, who is the offensive coordinator at LSU, who Ed Orgeron basically pushed out the door at LSU. And Ed Orgeron is at LSU because LSU missed out on Tom Herman.
It's all just this weird... I don't even know how you describe that.
That's a really fun storyline.
It is.
Besides the fact that Maryland also beat Texas at home by 10 last year.
The only thing that would make it more interesting is if you had Ohio State playing Maryland early in the season, and you had two coaches who were on...
Maryland's now in the ACC, I think, aren't they?
No, they're Big Ten.
Dude, I can never figure out who's who. You can ask... Remember Grant, who had our topic last show? Dude, he's a Louisville fan, and I always say, you know, Louisville's in the American. I'm still on that. It's impossible to know who's who.
Since all this restructuring, since I'm partly a Big Ten guy, I can tell you the Big Ten teams. I can tell you the Big 12 teams. But I don't expect many people to know where Rutgers is.
Dude, yeah, Rutgers is in the Big Ten, right?
Yes, and it's super weird.
I mean, yes, no, it's strange. So I'm just making sure that I'm not alone here.
And I don't want to get off on like this huge tangent, but Rutgers was like a targeted team in expansion.
Greg Schiano.
Because they thought you were bringing in that New York market.
That didn't work out too well, did it?
And instead you've brought in a team that has done nothing in any of the major sports. But we can talk about that another day. That's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. This is Can I Get a Podcast? We've got an interesting topic to talk about next. What would sports be like if, right after a team won the championship, you killed every player? That's next on Can I Get a Podcast? Welcome back to Can I Get a Podcast? I'm Chris Gross. That's Jeffrey Cooperstein.
Hello.
Hello. If you heard our tease for this segment, I hope it grabbed your attention. So let me give you a little background. So as part of my mission trip over the week, we took a small excursion to some Mayan ruins country of Belize. It was
always
really
cool.
Always
wanted to do that.
And part of the ruins they had was this ancient sports field, which dated back, you know, 1,500, 2,000 years. And we don't really know the name of the game. It's some kind of Mayan sports ball. It's a combination of, from what we can tell from, you know, drawings and stone sketches from the time, it's like a combination of soccer and basketball.
Okay.
So how it works is you just imagine like a stone basketball hoop, but instead of it, you needing to put the ball in from like ceiling to floor, turn it to where it's like parallel to the floor, and you can only use your feet. So it's basically like soccer, and you have to kick the ball through this stone hoop in the sky. You have to kick it through. So as part of this, now a little background information. The Mayans were big into human sacrifice.
Yes.
That was a big part of whenever they needed rain. Whenever they needed help from one of their gods, they would kill somebody, eat their heart, and that was like them paying offering to these gods. So, as part of this Mayan sports ball, the winners would be killed as human sacrifice. And they wanted this because when you would get killed, you would be, according to their mythology and their spirituality, you would be reincarnated and you would come back as like the priest, the one who like runs the village. And so they wanted to win so they could be killed and be reincarnated.
That is just crazy.
Props to my wife, Ashley, for giving me this idea. We were learning about this and she goes, how would that work in sports today? And so I started thinking.
That is just crazy.
And literally, we have no basis for any arguments here. So I just wanted to go back and forth. And so let's just like imagine This would be like this year in February, the Eagles get their Super Bowl trophy.
And then they all get killed.
They do a little bit of like partying on the field, and then they line up. Someone comes through
and they just
cut out everybody's heart, eats the heart, and they die right there on the field. So let's just, what happens in sports when your championship team every year gets killed? So
there'd be a new champion every year.
It is the ultimate parody.
There'd like, be a new champion every
year. You
know
what was the first thing I thought? There is no Patriots dynasty.
There's no Golden State Warriors dynasty.
Yes, because Tom Brady,
LeBron James
long
doesn't
gone.
Exist anymore.
LeBron, gone.
Kevin
Steph
Durant,
Curry, gone.
Gone.
They're all dead. And so
Dirk, gone.
He's dead. But like,
that is so fun. That's crazy, dude.
And so just think about it. Like, Dirk would not be the legend he is because he doesn't get to like fulfill his 20-year-long career with the Mavericks.
Because he died in 2011.
Yes, he gets killed. Now, he's still going to be like the greatest Maverick of all time because he brought them their only championship. But the way I was thinking about it is, let's just talk real quick about like the parody for sports. So the way this would kind of have to work is like in football, your entire 53-man roster gets killed on the field. And then you have to go into some kind of like, almost like an expansion
draft.
That's
what I was going to say. How would they replenish the team? Would it be an expansion draft or would they just...
Basically, you go from the best team to the worst team in like a moment of mass murder. And so basically what you would do is the other teams would get to protect a certain amount of players. The defending, we'll just use the Eagles, for example, since they're our reigning NFL champions. They get to poach the other players, but it's like an expansion team almost.
So they would... It'd be similar to what the Vegas Golden Knights did.
Yes.
They had an expansion, except would they make the Super Bowl in year one?
No.
I don't think they would either.
No. I think it's, and that's very rare.
I don't think that'll, I mean, nowadays, I guess people are going to use the Golden Knights as a precedent in doing expansion. They'll want to compete right away. But yeah, in the past, there was no way that first year teams were going to compete.
Are you in favor of, obviously, putting murder aside, are you in favor of basically resetting the league every year?
Absolutely not. Are you?
I am.
You're crazy, dude.
I think you have reached the pinnacle of sports. You win your championship. I think you should get killed, and that team starts from the bottom. I hate it when a New England Patriots team, or let's use the Warriors, for example, they win the title, and you know, at this time next year, they will be playing in the finals again.
What if it was your favorite team?
That would really be bad.
Do you have a favorite NFL or professional team?
Yeah, I like the Cowboys.
Okay, so if the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, God forbid, in February of 2019, you would be okay with all them theoretically getting killed and having to start from square one?
Yes.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I
no,
would.
No, you wouldn't.
No, you would.
No, you wouldn't.
Okay, this is basically... It's the classic argument of, would you trade a championship for like 5 or 10 years of mediocrity? And the answer you give is yes.
Okay, it's completely different.
No, it's not.
No, because that wouldn't be mediocrity. That would be awful.
No. Okay. If all 53 players got killed and then you had to like rely on the draft and free agents, then yes. But no, you'd have to institute a form of like a, we'll just call it the murder draft. So you need the murder draft.
I'm going to hashtag that on Twitter.
You need the murder draft because of everybody that got killed. So you can compete for a playoff spot.
Can I get a podcast? I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein. That's Chris Gross over there.
That's like the best reset.
Dude, yeah, that was a really good reset. I'm not even gonna lie. Dude, you would not be okay with it. And the reason, what if your team was a young team, like the Cowboys are? The Cowboys have a really young core. If they were to win the Super Bowl, there's a chance, theoretically, again, that we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys who haven't done anything since 1996. Theoretically, they would have a chance to win 3 or 4 more in a short span because they're so young and they're not done with their careers yet.
But see, you just said it. A team that has done nothing in like 2 decades, you tried over and over with Romo, and you've tried with Dak. And don't get me wrong, I love Romo and I love Dak, but I would trade a championship for years of having to really fight for a playoff spot. Dude, I would, as a fan.
I would trade. It would have to be like 10 years max. Not
okay.
I would trade a championship for 10 years of mediocrity, and then I'm expecting my team to compete again. Unless my team is the University of Texas, when they should be winning the national championship every single year.
Okay, so let's do it from the college ranks.
If Alabama wins in 2009, all 110 people on that team are gone.
And Nick Saban gets killed too. Like, coaches are dead too.
Dude.
See, now I think
it's
you're
a pretty
favor.
Crazy idea. No, the Mayans were onto something, man.
I think they were. They knew how to level the playing field. Because you did not want the, again.
How crazy is it, though? You're going to a game wanting to win, knowing your life is going to end.
Yes, but this goes to their beliefs. Like, they said.
Like, they believe if they die, they get reincarnated.
And they thought they would come back as a priest.
I guess on that note, you'd want to win and become reincarnated as something higher than what you were originally.
Right. They said,
what if a priest wins the game?
Well, the priest didn't play.
Okay.
The priests were like the ones who ran the village.
They were the officials of the game.
And they were the ones who, like, when the game was over, the priest would like run out onto the field.
So they're the commissioner.
Yeah. They're like the Mayan sports ball. They decide how and when you die,
this
basically.
This is by far my favorite segment we've ever done on Can I Get a Podcast.
So that would be like, again, using our NFL segment, the Eagles win. They get their time on the field. Roger Goodell hands them the trophy. And as
they
he
at least
the,
get champagne?
Yeah, we'll give them their champagne
okay,
shower.
Cool.
We'll let them go down to the locker room. You get about 45 minutes. Then you come back out, and Roger Goodell is right there with a knife. And he's ready
is
to cut
gonna
out your
Is it
going to
be a knife, or is it a shot? Is it a gun or a knife?
I imagine if we're going...
If we're going modern day here.
Yeah, but... Okay, we can do that. So Roger Goodell is there with rifles or pistols, ready to shoot
just
everybody
going
as the game ends.
Guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
We're not saying Roger Goodell is a murderer, for the record, on here on Can I Get a Podcast.
This is all totally hypothetical. So I don't want to drag this out like super long, but the other thing I was thinking about is how this would affect players depending on what team they want to go to.
If they didn't want to get killed or not, would they go to a championship team?
So, but for this, we have to imagine that every player wants to win and wants to die, right? So,
do we?
You don't get, yes, because you have to imagine it that way.
Okay.
You have,
this is
for
your
this
thing.
Hypothetical,
no, this is yours.
Players want to die, right?
All right.
So, the other aspect of this I like, players count more on winning championships than taking money. So you don't get like a Zach Greinke situation where he straight
he's
up
just
says,
going to the highest bidder.
Yeah. He goes, sure, money's great, but I want to die. So I am going
so
to
he's
the
going
best
to the
team.
Yankees or the Cubs.
Yeah. So, but then he goes to the Yankees. The Yankees win.
Or for the record, if Zach Greinke was interested in winning championships, he would have been a Texas Ranger in the fall of 2010, and the Rangers would have won the championship
and
in
then
2011.
Guess what? Okay, so there's your perfect example, and we're going to close it on this. Would you have wanted the Rangers get their World Series in 2010, but literally everyone gets killed, and you have to expansion draft, restart from there? Do you take it?
Yes.
I knew it,
yes,
see?
I do.
I got it.
I came
like,
around.
It took like 10 minutes.
I do.
But I got you in
and
my...
That's only, but the only reason I say that is because of the pain and suffering of 2011.
And that, I think, goes to it too, where it depends on your franchise history. You know, obviously how many titles you've won.
Like if you're the Yankees, they're like, yeah, go kill them.
Yeah.
Screw it.
Yeah. I think it really depends. Like, there are certain teams who would love to get their players killed.
Shout out to Ashley Gross for this.
This is genius. I mean, it's honestly...
Dude, we've had back-to-back episodes where we've gotten really good topics from listeners.
I know. And it's great. And we love...
We love your feedback.
Hit us up anytime. Where are you at?
I'm at JCoopJR27. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snap.
No burner
whatever.
Account.
Yes, I do
we've
not
We've done
have
our
one.
Research. No burner account. I am at Chris's Gross, K-R-I-S-I-S-G-R-O-S-S, We just proved it. We're down to talk anything on this podcast.
Anything. Let us know. Yeah. Let us know what you want to hear.
We'll talk about it. So, Jeffrey, we're going to close things out like we always do, and we're going to close things out with the 24-second shot clock. For those of you who haven't listened to the podcast before, shout out to another, I guess, friend of the podcast. Mr. Deering, my former radio teacher, gave us this idea. You get 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want. It doesn't even have to be sports-related. But when that buzzer goes off, your time is up. So, Jeffrey, we're going to come to you first here. Your 24 seconds begins now.
The Mavs gaming season came to an end on Friday night, as they lost to Bucks Gaming. And as the Mavericks were a really good team as soon as I started working with them. The second I got on and started doing some stuff for them, they went down the drain. So, Mavs Gaming, I'm sorry that I ruined your season.
That's really sad to hear.
Yeah, man, that was it's really rough. But it was really fun. I had a really good time. Dude, the gaming community is really cool. I've come a long way. I used to think gaming, like professional competitive gaming, was like stupid.
Dude, it is on the rise fast.
So fast.
So you were the Mavs gaming jinx.
Yes.
Do you want to hear about my sports jinx?
Yes.
I jinxed the Rangers. So I worked for the Rangers in 2009.
Doing what?
In the parking lot.
Okay.
I worked in the parking lot. I left after that year. World Series. Then I come back to work in 2012. So I sandwiched the World Series years.
And 2012 was arguably the best team they ever had.
And I'm wondering if I wasn't there, if they would have gone. So if the Rangers never win a World Series, you can blame me for it. But that's not what my...
Or Ron Washington.
You can blame
them. Or Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, you can blame.
Or Neftali Feliz.
You can blame them if you want.
Or David Freese.
There's so many people you can blame. Or Jeffrey Cooperstein.
Or me.
Yeah, you can blame him.
Let's stop talking about that.
Let's move on to my 24 seconds. Football season, I'm saying it's officially back. We've got preseason games underway, and you don't want to put a lot of stock into preseason games, but for a team like the Cowboys where you have so many questions, you don't know what you're going to get out of the wide receivers. You don't know what you've got in the secondary. To see them put together a really good drive to start the game, I'm not saying this is a Super Bowl team. Like, I'm not saying we're ready to kill the Cowboys. But I'm excited for the season.
Dude, I think they actually are going to be pretty good. Dak and Zeke back together.
Yeah.
Full 16 games. They're going to run the ball a lot. And Rell. We'll see how the receivers do. The secondary is promising. I'm still a little iffy on the defense, though, but nah, it's a fun season. I agree with you for the most part. I think football is back, but I'm not going to sit there and watch four quarters of a preseason game. I'll watch that first drive when the first teamers are in, but other than that, I'm really not going to watch it, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, it's a little nibble until NFL and college season rolls around.
It's almost there. Dude, I think it's two more podcasts.
So we're like 3 weeks away.
We were 3 weeks from yesterday is the first Saturday of college football.
Oh, my gosh. It is so close.
So close.
I can smell it, man.
Me too.
So that's our podcast here today. Again, there's a couple ways you can listen to the podcast based on how you like to listen. You can visit KESN1033.com, click on the featured audio tab at the top, and then all you have to do is click on Can I Get a Podcast? And from there, you will see our archive of episodes. If you want to go back and listen to old ones, that's old news. I don't know why you would want to do it.
Because you love us.
Yeah, because you're nice and you want to give us those listens. The other way you can do it, if you are an Apple user, head on over to Apple Podcasts, search Can I Get a Podcast, and you will find Jeffrey and I's podcast right there. But as we close things out, we'll do it like we always do. Again, why don't you just throw your Twitter handle out there for the people?
That's at jcoopjr27, and I don't have a burner account.
No burner account for Jeffrey, no burner account from me. My official account, at Chris's Gross, KRISISGROSS. And that is going to do it for this podcast. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies.
Your ex-wives.
Make sure you definitely tell your ex-wives. And that's going to do it. We'll be back next week with another edition of Can I Get a Podcast?
Okay, thanks.